Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It's 67 degrees and sunny outside the studios here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. That's about 6 degrees warmer than it was an hour ago. Here the way the numbers are trading in Chicago. At this time, December corn futures are a half cent lower at 456 and a quarter. The March at 468 and three quarters, down three quarters. July at 483 and a quarter, a half lower. And next year's December at 494, down a half. The soybeans are trading the November up four and three quarters at $13.21 and three quarters. January at $13.22 and three quarters, up four. May soybeans at 1276 and a quarter, a penny higher, and July at 1268 and a quarter, up a quarter of a cent. The wheat is trading December futures at 681 for the soft red, up two and three quarters. The hard red at 732, up four and three quarters. Live cattle at 127.65 are down a nickel in the October. December 2.5 higher at 131.60. October feeders at 164 and a nickel, 32.5 cents lower. And the lean hogs in the lead option at $96.62.5 are down 20 cents. On the phone line with us to take a look at how those numbers are reflecting what's been happening in the world and the agricultural markets is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good morning, Todd. How are you today?
Well, usually I talk to you in the afternoon. Thank you for the good morning. I'm doing very well. Yourself today?
I'm doing well myself. Thank you.
Okay, I was thinking about the afternoon, in fact, because the Hogs and Pigs report is due out, and we'll talk about that just after 2 o'clock when I discuss this again with you this afternoon. But are there any pre-report jitters for the hog numbers?
You know, I think there are, just because of the Smithfield purchase being approved. And, you know, I don't want to associate too much of a dynamic to that that approval by the shareholders earlier this week, but I sensed kind of a shift in the mindset of some of the more bearish traders in Chicago with that, not just in the hogs, but also a more optimistic or less pessimistic outlook on the feed grain side as well, especially the meal market. And I think this is where the meal market and the hog market, if you look at the two charts and overlay them, they really have been running very close to one another the last 6 or 8 months, and obviously for the right reasons because of that link they both serve and both have when it comes to the pork exports and especially the Chinese pork exports. So the kept for breeding number is going to be a big number, I think, as far as how much are we building here with profitability at extremely good levels, $100, $101 cash hogs being talked about by clients I work with after their grade and yield premiums are tacked on, Todd. I think that's a big number, and with lower feed grain prices, this report's going to help serve to give a guide and gauge of what we've been building, and then maybe we'll get a little insight on how much the PED virus hurt us as well. So kept for breeding number, to me, is probably the more important of the three.
So you're thinking that traders are optimistic both for price of bean meal and the price of hogs?
I think they're optimistic for the price of hogs, but I don't think they know quite yet what to think about the bean meal, because the early bean yields, especially back in your area, have been coming in for the most part really, really good. And a lot of guys have been running the beans back in your area, it sounds like. And so I think they're kind of neutral, but they're not as bearish, I think. Now, the cash basis wouldn't say that, but I think the futures traders would suggest, at least to me, it suggested that this week.
When you say good, 50 and 60 bushel the acre?
Yes, and in some cases we're getting into the mid to upper 60s, and some whole fields in western Indiana have been going close to 70, if not 70 bushels. So yep. Kentucky clients also reporting phenomenal yields, too, in more than one area.
And this seems really surprising, given the August that we had that was very dry. The last 90 days, some of the driest on record, I think, in fact. Although we did have some rain in that, the 18th, 19th, 20th, somewhere in that range. But, boy, beans just managed to pull through. It seems surprising. You think that the further we get into harvest that they can hold through this process?
Yeah, you know, I don't think so. I think that the earliest beans are probably your best beans, and we're talking about the areas that really didn't suffer too much when you look at the 90-day precip maps. I would also say that maybe the western corn belt, because we haven't heard much out of that yet, The basis levels are reflecting really more of what's going on in the East, and we haven't really gotten a total picture yet in terms of the interior basis. I mean, when I saw this morning that Decatur basis there in Illinois was for had fallen to the lowest point since January of 2012, you know, that says to me the early beans are there. But here again, we probably haven't seen much west of the Illinois and definitely not much west of the Mississippi. So I'm going to hold back and give you a more firm answer probably in a week or two. But I think clearly at this point in time, the futures traders versus the cash market are starting to change a little bit. I think it does go back to the Smithfield purchase.
Yeah, so in the beans, only off, what, about 50 cents since the high back in 8/27 or August 27th or somewhere along those lines. So the trade's still thinking the bean market has something left in it and that they want the beans now as opposed to later.
Yeah, and I think this is where, you know, when you look at the bean market and you take a couple steps back, you think to yourself, we are at pipeline supplies right now. I mean, a 150 carryover, given the type of demand USDA is projecting and the fact that China is not slowing down on new crop purchases, and that was a big deal this week, earlier this week, with the export sales confirming big purchases by China again. I think that you're probably more range-bound, and you're starting to see more people look towards South America for direction, and their weather is far from perfect in South America. So it does suggest that in the big picture medium term, you do need to keep the price high enough and elevated enough to ration and keep that demand rationing pressure in place until a more optimistic production picture can be seen in both the Western Corn Belt here and then the planting aspects of South America. So I think you're 100% right. I don't think there's a lot of downside in the beans unless the meal triggers a technical sell-off. So October meal at 410 is a very important level for me. We take that out on a weekly basis. That's where you have to look at maybe another slide in the beans just on a technical basis. And I guess the bean-corn spread with how the funds are positioned would suggest that could happen too.
Coarse grains, time to shuck corn and plant soy or sow wheat at this time.
Yeah, and you've got the wheat turning around here and finding some good resistance levels that have been penetrated this week. At the same time, you've got harvest pressure in the corn. But I think the market's doing a pretty good job of finding that the supplies of wheat are probably going down while we're in this harvest time period for the corn. And, you know, the wheat-corn spread, Todd, is back to almost 225 a bushel lead month, and that puts you back at levels not seen since September of 2010. So we're at a three-year high on that wheat-corn spread. I think that's a good indicator that maybe the trade's undergoing a turn in the wheat and a turn in the demand expectations if, again, we take a step back in the more medium term. And here, again, I think the Argentine frost damage and the substantial problems down there, the fact that we still have some issues in the Ukraine and the Black Sea, traders are starting to talk more about, well, maybe the supplies aren't as burdensome as we once thought just 15 days ago. So we'll see how the wheat closes out the week. I've been burnt by wheat so much, I got to wait till this afternoon's close.
And a very quick word on corn.
Corn market, I think you're probably going to try and stay with the small grains report, with the grain stocks report. You probably made your low earlier in the week, and if the wheat stays strong, I think the corn stays strong just because that wheat-corn spread's so extreme at this stage.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day, buddy.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again this afternoon. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Here the way the numbers are trading in Chicago. December wheat at 680 and a quarter is up 2 cents. July of next year at 682 and three quarters, down a half. The hard red July at 743 and three quarters is 2 and a quarter lower. And December corn at 456 is down 0.75 cents. The March contracted 468 and three quarters, now 0.75 cents lower. July at 482 and three quarters, down a penny. Next year's December down 1 at 493 and a half. November beans at 1321 and a half, up 4 and three quarters. January 4 and a quarter higher at 1323. July 1268 unchanged, and next year's November at 1167, or rather 1176, and that's down 2 and a half. Bean meal at 419.20, up 280. Bean oil at 41.86 is 7 cents higher. Live cattle futures are trading the October at 127.75, up a nickel, and the lean hogs at 92.60 are down 20 cents on the afternoon. The feeder cattle, by the way, are trading the October at 164.12.5. That's down 25 cents. You're listening to WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. Don't forget, you can find all of our agricultural programming online. The website address is willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.